I'm David.
And I'm Courtney.
And welcome to Room to Roam, a podcast about parenthood and relationships.
And all the shit in between. All right, and we are back with another episode of Room to Roam.
Hello, hello.
We are getting a little more serious this week, so we just want to plug a little trigger warning to anyone who may have experienced any sort of miscarriage or infant loss. This could be triggering for you, and we just want to acknowledge that and know that that is something that is triggering for us and also something that we think is important to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely hearing things, experiences that you may have had might bring you some comfort and commonality, but also might be re-traumatizing for those experiences that you've had. So pause and take the time you need when you need it. Find those people to talk to. Find those things to help you, distract you.
Definitely. We are going to kind of just unpack and talk about our experience with our miscarriage. So yeah, I think I'll get us started. I am a little anxious, so I'll just be honest. So you're cool if I start, I guess, since I'm obviously the one who found out I was pregnant.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about how we first found out. Yeah. I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
We'll lighten up, you know?
So we got married in July of 2021. And we actually were on a trip in the very beginning of November 2021. And the very first, like, subtle sign that we didn't realize till after the fact was a sign was we were at a beach house with our friends for a birthday. And my boobs were so sore. And our friend actually made a joke, like, oh, well, that was my first symptom of pregnancy with my first kid.
And I was like, shut the fuck up.
You were like, don't put that energy out there.
Don't do that.
Because at that time, we were not trying to get pregnant. We had just got married. We, you know, had kind of a timeline of when we wanted to start trying for our first kid. And that was not it. So then, flash forward a couple of weeks, I was in my last week of work at Providence. And I had started having some just like weird gastrointestinal symptoms. I was cramped, like bloated, like extremely bloated. Like I was laying down in my office on my stomach in the middle of the day. And I just thought it was like something I had been eating. But then paired with that, I had like extreme thirst. And everybody who knows me.
Not for the D.
Yeah. No. Not for the D. But everyone who knows me knows I already drink a lot of water as it is. And so I was like, but I mean, I was pushing like three of my big jug. So that's just like a pretty excessive amount for me. And so I was just like, okay, this is so weird. And I had started kind of Googling all of these symptoms paired together and pregnancy was popping up. And I was like, there's no way. But I was coming up on my period and it hadn't hit. And I was like, this is weird. And I remember going to the bathroom a lot thinking I had started my period and I hadn't. So finally, I came home one day after work. And David was sitting on the couch watching his shows or something. And I went upstairs and took a pregnancy test that my best friend had given me like a little while back. And they were like the medical ones that I didn't even know how to read them. Because you had to like do droplets into it. And so I was like,
what?
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know how to read this. And so I sent a picture to her. And she was like, oh my God, is that yours? And I was like, yeah, what is it? Positive or negative? And she's like, dude, that's positive, you're pregnant. And I was like, what the fuck? I was shocked. Instantly in my head, I had always wanted to tell David in a cute way, but as everybody knows, I can't lie for shit. And so I was like, I'm not gonna be able to last even the night without telling David. So I
called, it was that night,
literally same day.
Shit.
Yeah, so
that's
I
so wild.
Called up my, because David had plans, I think, so I called up my friend. And I was like, do you want to go to Target with me? I have something I need to do. And she was like, sure. So she came over. We went to Target. David was supposed to go out and then didn't end up going out.
I just had a 420 night.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah, you chilled.
Watching anime.
Yeah, you chilled hard. And so we went to Target and I proceeded to take two clear blue tests in the Target bathroom. and they again came up positive. So I was like, okay, we need to get the things that I want to get in the way that I want to tell David. I've always had this dream of telling David how I was pregnant with our first kid based on our history and our friend group. I always wanted to tell David with Smirnoff ices. I wanted him to either like open a package or open the front door and there would be like two ices sitting there and then the pregnancy test for ice baby, if anyone gets it. So I was like, okay, we have to put this into action. And so we did, and we filmed. I had my friend film it. We like put it on the front door of the house, like this doorstep, and David came to the door and answered it and saw it. I don't think he got the ice baby reference at all.
I didn't get it at all. I was like, I don't understand.
But he saw the pregnancy test and was like, what?
Yeah, that was...
I was so nervous to tell you, because I was like, this isn't in our plan. Like,
well, you're like, what if... are you mad?
Yeah, I thought you were...
I had the video.
I thought you were going to be so mad.
No, I was shocked because we weren't planning for at least a year out, I think. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wasn't planning. I wasn't like in like the solid state of mind also. So I was like, wait, what's happening right now? is this real life? And I think I was just, it was not on my mind. And so the fact that it was thrust onto my mind, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be a dad.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, it was pretty wild and very creative. I mean, I had no idea.
Thank you. You proceeded to get on a knee and do the ice as you should.
I did.
Nice job.
I did. And it was a very fun celebratory night and just soaking in just the big potential life transition mm-hmm. that was coming. And yeah, what a homie. Thank you Sarah for being a homie and being available to last minute plan that.
Yep, definitely love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think from there we kind of, I feel like, experienced a lot of excitement, but then also conversations about who and when we tell people, right? Aside from the people who I had told to like help me figure out I was pregnant and like surprise you. I think we both kind of had different experiences with that. I think we both kind of were like, oh, should we wait for a little while? Because at that point, I think I was like 5 or 6 weeks pregnant.
I was like, fuck it. No, let's tell people. Like, mm-hmm. I want to let people know. Like, in my mind, I think at the time I was like, miscarriages, like that doesn't happen often. Mm-hmm. Like that's just things that happen. And it's a fluke type thing. And mm-hmm. no, it's not going to let us tell people. Like, you know, I was just like, I wanted to. Obviously, hi, Rome.
Rome's avoiding her bedtime.
But yeah, obviously, we didn't tell people. Like, I think we found a balance and respected, like, telling certain people.
Yeah, because I had more hesitancy, and I think I even told you, like,
yeah.
Things can go wrong before this point.
Yeah, and I think I was just naive and like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, things don't go wrong. That's not how I see things. Yeah. And so I was like, full send, and let's tell people. So
I don't even remember. I think we told a couple of your best friends. They had came over.
Yeah, I mean,
my pregnancy test in the fridge.
Yeah, my friend actually was staying in town from Hawaii. Nicole was just staying, and it happened to be later, like, you know.
Oh, I was thinking even earlier. I think we told Matt and Tyler really early because they were over and we had put the pregnancy test in the fridge.
Oh, you're
Matt
right.
Found it.
I have the video too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we told, I guess, yeah, I didn't realize we told all of our really close friends pretty early.
Yeah, 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Because then we told Becca and Nathan at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's rum. Yeah, we'd given them like shirts, baby clothes.
Mm-hmm. The duck beaver thing. Yeah. Yeah. So we told our friends really early. I think more so like probably pressure from me because it wasn't my body and that anxiety wasn't as, I didn't have it because it wasn't my body. So I was like, yeah, what are you talking about? Like this, that shit doesn't happen that often. Let's tell people. So we told all like a lot of our close friends, pretty early on,
And then in December, we told December, my best friends and then Nicole from Hawaii.
Yeah, she came down and stayed for a month, which we'll probably get more into that, but that was probably a godsend. I'm glad that that actually happened. But yeah, she came down because she was visiting from Hawaii.
Oh my gosh, we got hit. Remember?
Yeah.
We were going to a Blazer game with Nicole in December, and we got hit, and I was driving. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like,
oh, yeah, that was wild.
I remember being so stressed out because I was pregnant. And I was like, we just got hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we went to Seattle, and we told all my best friends.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we did the ring test over my belly.
You want to explain what that is so they know?
Yeah, so there's this, like, old wives' tale that if you put a ring that's yours on, like, a strand of hair, specifically your hair is what's recommended, and you can either hold it over your arm if you're not pregnant or over your belly if you are. And if it goes in a circle, it's a girl. If it goes back and forth, it's a boy. And it'll tell you, like, the amount of kids you're going to have, and then it'll stop moving. And I had done it before at our engagement party, like, years back, and mine had said girl, boy, boy, girl. And then we did it in Seattle while I was pregnant with all my best friends. And we had, like, a bunch of people over celebrating Christmas. And I was like, oh, my God, like, let's do it over my belly. And we had agreed to let, like, a guy I didn't know very well do it because we were like...
Wasn't he a doctor or something like that?
Yeah, I think he was a doctor. And so we were like, oh, you have steady hands and you're not going to sway one way or the other. Because we knew all my best friends, like, had an opinion about what they wanted, a girl or a boy, because everyone had voted. And he went and did the ring test over my belly. And it just didn't move. It wouldn't move either way. It just stayed really, really still.
Yeah, that was really weird. And I, once again, was
in hindsight, we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I think I was like, oh, it's fine. It's whatever.
You were like, it doesn't matter. And I was like, no, this is weird.
I was like, no, like, it's, that's the old wives' tale or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was just like, chill out.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like that's kind of like I recognize my role in a lot of things is kind of like the minimization.
I think that was maybe your role prior to the miscarriage, but...
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm just like, oh, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Like, oh, it'll be okay. Yeah. Oh, like, why are you thinking this way? It'll be fine.
Because I think I remember saying to you a lot during that time period, like, well, you know, people can go to their first appointment and there just isn't a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, okay, why would you... Like, why are you putting that out there? Like, don't say that. Like... And I think I, being the fearful person I am, was like, I'm just preparing myself. I don't know what this is. Like, I've never been pregnant. You know, like, I was very nervous and anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So then Christmas rolled around and we told our parents in, like, really cute ways.
Let's pause for a moment. I mean, like, what was it like? I feel like, just... As we're talking about it now, like, I've noticed this myself, like, kind of having a hard time talking about it. Like, I feel my body, like, tightening up more, a little more. But, like, what is it like talking about this experience? Like, telling your friends 5 weeks, right? 5 or 6 weeks or whatever.
Maybe we were 8 weeks. We told my best friends.
Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, telling them.
I think, like, I was excited, you know, to tell, like, my people, you know, like, Becca and Nathan, and, like, seeing their excitement. Like, Becca cried, and I think Nathan even teared up, and, like, all my best friends were so excited, and so I think that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, obviously, the outcome, which is the title of this episode, like, it just makes it harder to be, like, I'll never get those, like, excitement back, you know, like, those first excitements, because I feel like now... Any pregnancy moving forward, and including Rome's pregnancy, was just different because of it.
Yeah, this anxiety of, like, waiting to go in and see that there was no heartbeat or something happened.
Yeah.
And so just having that in the back of your mind.
Definitely.
Back of my mind, for sure.
How does it feel for you, like, talking about telling people? Because we, like, told your parents in a really, like, cute but also permanent way. Like, it's a book that still lives in their house.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty. I think I literally
3 days after we told our parents,
3 days after that, then we found out. And so I think that was just really hard because I know with Rome, I tried not to get too excited because of what happened. And I feel like kind of what you said, like that kind of changed how I viewed like pregnancy. Even being like obviously not the person who's carrying the birthing parent, but like the support person, and just like I feel like I couldn't be excited because of what happened. And just not even, I don't know if I felt shame. I don't think I felt shame, but I think I just felt like a deep sadness, I think, of just like my dad has literally been talking about me having a child and can't wait till like, hey, when my first grandchild, and then like that was a moment in the way that we did it to let him know that we were having his grandchild. He was having a grandchild, and then for like that to happen like 3 days later, to find out that, and you'll always talk about this, you know, that, you know, it's that the fetus stopped growing 2 weeks prior, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we can talk about that.
I think that was just really hard, I think, to process. And I didn't process it very well. I don't know if we're going to go into that, but...
We are.
Yeah, it sucked. Like, looking back at it and thinking about it, and...
I think there was just, like, so much excitement and anxiety that built up in both of us. Like, I think you held a lot of the excitement and I held a lot of the anxiety during that first pregnancy. And we even had... So we had our appointment the Monday after Christmas. And we literally got in the car and drove there. And I was so excited to finally just have an appointment and see if the baby was okay. And, like, if I was okay and how things were going. And we got, like, 2 blocks down the road and we got a call canceling my appointment. Because the doctor was out or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, like, so pissed. I remember coming back into the house and I ran upstairs. And Nicole was down here and she was like, what happened? And I was, like, so mad that we had to cancel the appointment. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, they got us in again. And we went in. And we were sitting in the waiting room. I think we even have a photo or, like, a video of us sitting in the waiting room on your phone somewhere. And we were just, like, excited and... ready to see how things were going. And we went back and, you know, kind of did all the basic things you would do for an appointment. And they came in and started my ultrasound. And I was super nervous. I was holding David's hand. And the doctor had made a comment like, okay, well, I'm seeing that it's measuring about 8 weeks. And in the moment, I had said out loud, I had said, well, I don't really know when we got pregnant because we weren't trying. Because in my head, she was just telling me I wasn't as far along as I had thought based on my period, right? And she even had to, like, correct herself and say, let me rephrase this. Like, the fetus stopped growing at 8 weeks. And I definitely, I think, hyperventilated a little and started crying. And again, hindsight, 8 weeks was when we were in Seattle at my best friend's house and did that ring test. And I don't believe in, you know, like magic and things like that, but I was like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Like that was weird. And I think, I mean, the rest of the appointment's kind of a blur, like at least being up with the OB and stuff. I know I had to like take a medication and they even had me go get my blood drawn and... I was just sobbing in the, what's it called? The lab place?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a joke at first. Like when she said it? Yeah, I was like, you're kidding. You're lying.
Like I had called like, and asked the OB to make like,
a prank on you? Yeah, or? I was like, where is it? Like, let's see. Like, yeah. Ha ha ha. You know? Because I was just like, no way that... And, like, part of me, like, still feels like I put that energy out. into, like...
I feel like I did, because I was the one who even said exactly what happened to us. You know people can go to the first appointment and not hear a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So I think we both probably felt that way.
Yeah. I think definitely, like, I definitely had some guilt. Feeling like I put, like, not even, like, being upset about having a baby. Like, but I think just the nonchalant, the, like, minimizing the impact of how often miscarriages happen, which are, like, what, 1 in 4?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have miscarriages. Birthing people have miscarriages, and how minimizing I was of it being an actual issue. And I was like, oh no, that's not a thing. We don't experience that. That's not us. And then it was. I was like, I felt a lot of guilt that I, like, put that into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, I still think about that. I'm like. Like, I was like, did I manifest that? Like, is that mm-hmm. something that I did? And I really struggled. Like, yeah, I really struggled with after the fact, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I came home and it was like Groundhog's Day walking back into the house, I think, for Nicole. Because I walked in and didn't say anything and went straight upstairs.
Yeah. I broke down and started crying, which is... I'm not a crier,
mm-hmm.
you know, always, unless you watch my wedding video or or Rome's birth. I don't cry very often. And yeah, I don't even remember, like, if I fully got out what happened, but I started crying. And then, like, Nicole was like, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. And I think I just kept crying. And I think she gave me some space. I think she gave me space. And I think she went and checked on you. I think. I'm not exactly sure.
I don't even remember the rest of... I think I stayed in bed the rest of that day.
Yeah. And I called my mom, of course. Called my mom. And,
yeah, you handled a lot of the...
oh, yeah. I called and told people.
The only person I called was in the car. I mean, some of the, like, more surreal moments for me was, like, we got in the car after the appointment, and I remember vividly saying, I don't need a lesson in loss. Like, I've done loss, so why am I being taught this lesson? Like, why is this happening to us?
Yeah, because you were recently, like, prior to that, like, the
a
last
year
month.
Prior.
Or the year prior mm-hmm. experience. Like,
and I experienced loss at a young age of my friend passing. Like, I just was like, I don't think I need this. So it didn't make sense to me. And I called Becca. And I'm, like, choking up. I haven't talked about this since I called her. I just, like, broke down and was, like, shaking my head and was like, there was no heartbeat, you know. And she... cried, and I think I asked her, like, I need your help. I need you. Yes. I need you to tell people for me. Like, she knew who we had told, and I needed her. Because I had told my extended family, like my aunts and uncles at Christmas and cousins.
Yeah.
So I needed her to kind of, like, be the one to rally that. Because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't. There was just... I didn't have it in me to communicate with people, and I knew there were specific people who found out that I only had contact with that I was already going to have to communicate with. And so I was like, I need some of that load to be taken off of me. And I mean, you definitely did a lot of that. So thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that wasn't easy for you.
No, and I think I'm trying to remember. I think I called my mom, and I think I asked my mom to tell, like, my family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, but I definitely just remember calling my mom and, yeah, just saying, like, there wasn't a heartbeat, and, yeah, I think just in the crying way that I, mm-hmm. that I do, and I mean, I don't know. I think loss is hard for me. I think specifically, like, definitely, like, I've lost a lot of a lot of family in my life. I think each last 4 years, I've lost a family member. And so loss is hard, but I feel numb to it. I thought I felt numb to it until it was like in relation to like me.
It was probably the closest loss you've ever experienced, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think just I didn't know how to process it because how I process things, I just rationalize the shit out of it to where it's just like, oh yeah, I don't need to worry about that, be sad about it because I rationalize myself the shit out of it. So I don't, you know, that's just kind of how I used to process loss and my difficulties. I think how I navigated this experience of having a miscarriage, I think I was just so confused and I didn't talk to anyone. Like I had a lot of people reach out and just made me more angry when people would text me after I think I asked, like, I don't know if I asked one of my friends, can you communicate to my friends?
Yeah.
And I asked my mom to communicate to family, but people would text me that knew, and I just didn't reply back to them. I just got more mad. I was like, I don't know why the fuck you're texting me. Like, this is going to help me feel better. Yeah. Your thoughts and prayers mean nothing to me. You know,
that's not the support you need.
Like, that's not going to make this different, that your thoughts and your prayers, like, that means, it's not going to bring back anything. It's not going to manifest anything.
Yeah.
I think that was that part was really hard for me, is like the people who, like, and understandably so, wanting to support, you know, and extend their support to let them know that they're thinking of me and those things. But like, that's not how I saw it at the time. It was just more like frustrating. And I think what was helpful was like my older sister, texted me, and even actually, and my other sister, both my sisters actually, and like, you know, shared their experience with me. I didn't even know that. And so that was somewhat comforting, of like
hearing that other people
other people went through it, and you know, and that was something that was helpful for me in healing and understanding and being able to not compartmentalize but like understand my experience and soften a little bit how I felt. Definitely, you know, I didn't cope with it the best. I definitely think, I drank. It was because I was on winter break. So I literally was home. And it was post-COVID still, so like, ish. And so, I drank, like, not every day, but often. Like, okay, we're going to go to Total Wine. And then
my friend just with having a friend in town who you hadn't seen in a while.
And so like, I definitely, that month of December was just like, just drank. And definitely other ways to cope for sure. But I think having someone, I think what was really helpful that helped me get through it too, was having like Nicole and Jerron, who
Nicole here,
lived here. And like, she was like always in Nicole's state, like she did for a month until January. And Jerron was here, like, he stopped by after work in Beaverton, drove and stayed the night, and like, stopped by like a couple times a week, throughout the week, and just stayed and hung out and just was there, which is really like what I needed. Like, I just needed people to be present and be there.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk about things, you know? I don't need to work through it with them. I just need people to be present in my life when I'm really having a hard time.
Yeah.
And the company, I couldn't imagine doing it on my own. And then I thought about what that impact for you was. Being like, yeah, like these people who you also are friends with are here, but that support's different because that's like they're not your people.
And at the time, I really didn't know either of them very well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I had my people in my own way. I mean, the day that we had the appointment, I remember we had to go to the store to get me, like, pads, which I hadn't had since I was in middle school. And I remember standing in the pad aisle staring blankly. And I was like, I don't even know what pads I'm supposed to get. Like, I don't know. And then, like, also having to, like, think about, like, I was supposed to be at work. I was supposed to go to that appointment and come back. Like, I was just flexing my time and coming back and supposed to be working. And I was like,
yeah, no.
How am I supposed to go back to work? Thankfully, my friend Anna worked with me and I got back and called her and told her because she knew about our pregnancy. And, you know, she really supported me in that.
Man, shout out to the real homies who are just emotionally available and mm-hmm. present for their friends all the time.
Yeah.
And that show up when needed. Like, whether they're like, you guys, I wouldn't say you guys were best friends.
No, but like you guys were. She's there when you need
exactly,
her.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Just, if you have those people in your life, let them know that, like, they're the real homies because they show up when, like, the main character is about to get beat down by the villain. Mm-hmm. They show up and they're like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And fucking save the day. So, really.
I think a lot of my process, like, the first day was just being in my bed. I didn't really talk to anyone or do anything. And the second day, I worked all day. I didn't take any time off work when we had our miscarriage.
Back to the grind.
And so I worked, and then I had to take my second medication that helps you pass the miscarriage. And it was fine when I first took it. It was more just triggering knowing what I was taking. And it was like an oral medication that had to dissolve. So it was like there's a sense memory to the taste of that medication too. And I actually refused to take that medication orally when we had Realm because it is an induction medication. So I had to take it with her. But I remember sitting in the dark bathroom. I think you came and found me. And I had called my mom and was just sitting in there crying after I took the medication. Because I had started kind of lightly cramping. But that night was so rough.
Yeah.
And really, I think what I needed was, it was the first time in my adult life I felt like I need my mommy and daddy. Like, I remember FaceTiming them as a distraction to help with the pain. And Jerron and Nicole, like you said, I mean, shout out. I think we watched, like, the Duck Bowl game for football that day. And, like, we had a bunch of food. And I laid by the fire. And
yeah.
I mean, I won't go into, you know, the dirty details. But, like, it is very traumatizing to do that at home. And we had to, like, change the soap in our downstairs bathroom. Because I told David, like, that was the soap that was in there every time I had to go to the bathroom while I was passing our miscarriage, and it was just constantly, like, sense memory, like, triggering me when I would go to the bathroom in there.
Because mm-hmm. it's not just, like, and this is me speaking about your body, so feel free to correct me, but it's not just, like, when you have a miscarriage, depending on when it happens, right?
Yeah.
It's not just, like, oh, the body passed it itself, you didn't notice. Sometimes it happens. Totally. But depending on when, how far along you are, even, like, 8 weeks, right, when you have a miscarriage, you still have to pass the shedding of a lining of, like, the uterus, and you have to pass, like,
well, and I was 10 and a half. So yeah. Even though the baby hadn't grown, I still had, like, a sac and, like, a baby that I had to, like, pass through me. I mean, yeah. It was like, I would equate it to, like, I felt like two baseballs falling out of me.
Yeah. So, like, still having to, like, go through that process. And we've talked about this before, go through that process and, not have a happy ending.
Yeah, like, I think I said it to you. I was like, normally when birthing humans feel this pain, there's, like, a joy at the end of it, right? There's a joy of seeing your child and getting to meet your child. And I just was going through that pain knowing I wasn't going to get to feel that way. And I was like, I want to not feel this. I want, you know, I don't want this.
Yeah.
I think something, too, that's important to reflect on is just that we both needed different things during this time, you know? know, I think we were trying to navigate how to help each other and how difficult that was. Because we constantly were like, what do you need? Well, what do you need?
Yeah, I didn't know how to help you because, like, I felt totally helpless mm-hmm. because you were going through this physical and psychological pain. And I couldn't feel what you were feeling. You know, I didn't know, I couldn't stop the pain, you know, and so it was really hard trying to figure out how to support you through that. When I would bring like the massager and, you know, mm-hmm. try to massage like your stomach to help break things up or whatever. But besides that, there's really like, I didn't know what else. I felt really like powerless.
Yeah.
While you were going through all this pain, I felt like I couldn't help.
I think for me too, I was struggling with like, I felt like I was the one causing you the pain. So I didn't know how to help you. I think I battled a lot in my head of with like, did I do something to make this happen? And so like, was I doing something that hurt you? You know, like I wasn't good enough to carry our baby, I think was like thoughts I had in my head a lot.
Yeah, I imagine that. Like, I imagine those thoughts are pretty, like, common mm-hmm. when someone that experiences a miscarriage, is they think that they did something wrong or it's yeah. their fault, when there's a lot of different reasons why miscarriages happen. And so
totally.
I definitely can understand, like, why you would feel that way. And I think I tried to remind you. I think once, like, I found out, like, oh, it's really common,
yeah.
I think that I tried to rationalize you mm-hmm. like your feelings and help you get through it, when I'm like, that's not what, once again, like, that's not your language. So what you need to support is me to yeah. try to rationalize no. things, but just being present and letting you know I'm there. And
mm-hmm.
yeah,
it was hard.
It was yeah, it was really, really fucking hard.
I think too, something I think about a lot is like, we had one miscarriage
mm-hmm.
and then had Rome. And that one thing, I feel like that one miscarriage was so much for us. And so I can only imagine for people who have more, or who, you know, lose children all the way at the end of a pregnancy or even after pregnancy and delivery. Loss yeah. is very difficult. It's not funny, but I had literally like, 3 weeks before we found out that there was no heartbeat, I had just finished therapy for loss.
Yeah.
I had finished doing my therapy work with a therapist processing loss. I had been going every other week and had felt like I really put some tools in my belt and had like a good ground underneath me. And it was weird because I was doing it for loss I had already experienced. And yet in some way it was preparing me for loss that I ended up having.
That's wild. I didn't like realize mm-hmm. the universe. Wow. It throws some fucking curveballs at you. Like, oh, you think this is happening? Fuck that. We're going right.
Yeah.
Bitch, you're on a target instead.
How did you feel when we started having conversations about trying to get pregnant again?
I felt a lot of pressure. I felt a lot of anxiety. For mm-hmm. sure, of like, I don't want to relive what I felt
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I think I struggled for a while, and I think being a three, you know, I was really excited, and I told a lot of people
mm-hmm.
and like at work too
mm-hmm.
and so I think that was really hard of having to have the conversation multiple times mm-hmm. of letting them know that, oh no, sorry, like, we lost our child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was really difficult, of an experience. And I think I just wanted you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of on my forefront of like, I just want you to be happy. And I know that you want a child so bad, and I want a child as well, obviously, but like, you've talked so often and passionately about how, like, that is what you want in life, is to be a mother. Mm-hmm. And I want that so bad for you. And I wanted that so bad for you that I remember in January, because we had a baby moon planned. Mm. We had a baby moon planned.
I mean, it was not to be a baby moon, but it happened to be serendipitously. We were like, oh, it'll be our baby moon. We'll go to Mexico.
Yeah, so we went to Mexico, two weeks after our miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, one, drinking way too much, trying to cope with mm-hmm. just all that. And I remember breaking down and bawling in the middle of the pool, talking to Nathan. I don't remember what we were talking about. I think he asked how I was doing, which, mm-hmm. why the fuck would you ask that?
Love you. We know you listen. Pure intentions, nothing.
But yeah, it's like how I was doing. And I think we were talking about, maybe I brought it, I don't know. But I was obviously drunk. But I just started bawling because I was just like, I remember saying, like, I just want her to be happy. Like, that's all I want is for her to be happy. And I was just like, fucking bawled. And it was like, I was like, I'm that motherfucker who's drunk crying in the middle of a fucking pool, a bar pool, whatever.
At an all-inclusive resort.
Luckily, because of COVID, it wasn't super packed. So I don't think a lot of people saw me, but some people were like, what's up with this motherfucker? this guy good? But no, I want you to be happy. And that is something that I know that you always verbalize, like, that's what you want.
I never heard you talk about that.
I thought you knew that.
No, I had no idea.
Oh, that's why I jumped back to it, because mm-hmm. I was like, that. I think that was just part of the healing, I think, mm-hmm. that I went through was processing and talking about it. Because I think he was the first person that I maybe, like, started talking to about it after.
I think they were like, they felt like a safe space, you know, their family. So it felt like they, you know, it was okay.
Yeah. And then right after that, a month later, went to
Vegas, which is also really difficult. I got my first period postpartum there. It was awful. Awful. Mm-hmm. I think we just did a lot of, like, doing and moving to, like, keep ourselves busy.
Yeah.
Because then the next month we went to the beach. And then you went on your boys' trip. And that was probably, like, one of the lower points, like, following our miscarriage for me, obviously, besides the, like, thick of it.
Because we started trying again.
Yeah, we had started trying again in March, and we didn't get pregnant, and David was gone when I got my period, and I had gone to a baby shower. That was really hard. And for anyone who's had to go to a baby shower or anything baby related after having a miscarriage or a loss of an infant or a child, I hear you and I see you, because it was very difficult. And that is not to say that going to those things make it about me or about you as the person who's experienced that loss, and your feelings are valid. The next morning I woke up alone in our bed and had got my period. I felt very low. Mm. And so that next month we had just kind of like pulled the brake. Like, we were just like, let's just take it easy. We're not going to do all this incessant tracking and like whatever. And if we get pregnant, we get pregnant. I think something we glossed over is that 2 days after our miscarriage, we went to a wedding.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, that was...
Which was obviously the post I made was that photo of us right before we went to that New Year's Eve wedding.
Yeah. And I mean, and that photo of your photo on our Room to Roam is you at that wedding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that wedding was hard. I had to go shopping that day with a friend to find a dress that would fit over my Spanx that had a very large, like, essentially diaper in it, because I was wearing two pads at the time to really catch everything. And it was hard to be there and drink because I knew I could drink, but I was also like in my head, I wasn't supposed to be able to drink at that wedding.
And then the bride,
who we love,
was like, hey, are you pregnant?
I noticed you haven't been drinking a lot on David's stories, so I'm just going to say it. Are you pregnant?
And had to have that conversation.
And she carried that with such grace because I couldn't hold it in anymore. And so I said, I was. I am no longer as of 2 days ago. She felt really bad, and I wasn't offended that she asked me. I knew that that probably would come up with some people because it was pretty blatant that I hadn't been drinking on our stories socially, you know, for the past 10 weeks or whatever, so.
Yeah, and I can't imagine what that feeling is like you were saying, for those that have had multiple miscarriages or unsuccessful pregnancies.
Not able to get pregnant,
mm-hmm. of how often they have to have that conversation with people and share that they ask, oh, are you pregnant? Or when are you, blah, blah, blah. Like, when are you trying? I can't. We've tried. We're not, it's like, you mm-hmm. know, it's having those conversations. I can't imagine how exhausting that is, that, you know, having to continue to hear that, those questions, and have to answer that and continue to have that shame and guilt. And those feelings around it. Like, I'm just thinking as we're talking about our one experience, right?
Mm-hmm. And our one experience, and we have a baby now, right? I think that's also something to, like, note, is that I think that when, having Rome does not take away our experience of having a miscarriage, and I think it also gives us a little silver lining and excitement that we do have this beautiful baby who we love. And I know that's not everyone's experience, and so we are eternally grateful for her. And I always wonder about the kid that we would have had, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I wonder who that little individual, what they would be like. Mm-hmm. Would they look like me, look like you? Would they come out with a full head of hair like Rome did?
I know.
But then at the same time too, like, I'm pretty, like, that's not say realist, that's not the one I'm looking for. Like, I'm pretty, like, butterfly effect type person. Everything
happens for a reason.
And I think everything happens for a reason. I think that just wasn't the time for us.
And also went to Rome, right?
And Rome wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't have this amazing, spicy, almost 5-month-old
mm-hmm.
In our life. And our lives would be completely different. I think everything would be completely different if,
mm-hmm.
you know, we would have, if that child would have been born in July.
July 22nd. 22.
So, I also look at it like that, and then that might be my rational side mm-hmm. of rationalizing everything. But I definitely, like, that's something I take to heart is a butterfly. I believe butterfly effect is a thing. So,
I also think we just felt this episode matters and is important because obviously through this. Making our podcast, we've referenced it here and there, and we haven't actually sat down and talked about it, and it is something that so many people experience. And it's also, we want everybody to know that we are like an avenue or like a support if you want to talk or not talk and just sit or reach out. We are here and we are open.
Like, you know, like Courtney said, is we're here for you, and we see you, and we love you, and we care for you. And we're here to support you. If you're hearing this and you ever want to talk about an experience, mm-hmm. or if you ever feel like sharing your experience with other people might bring them comfort, mm-hmm. or some commonality or, so.
And check yourself. Anybody who's asking people when they're going to have kids or if they're pregnant, because you never know what somebody's going through.
Yeah. For sure. Like all the people, you know, like I said, that when I shared that, like, came out and shared that mm-hmm. they've also experienced that as well. And I was like, oh, I had no idea. Because, like, that's not necessarily something that, you know,
people talk about.
Because it's really hard and really difficult. Mm-hmm. And
I know my sister constantly, prior to her getting pregnant, Becca said, like, we should try to tell people early when you're pregnant. Because it helps reduce that stigma of, like, oh, don't tell anyone until 12 weeks. Because if you're not telling anyone until 12 weeks, you're going through a miscarriage alone.
Yeah.
For those that have first trimester miscarriages, you know? And I think that's a great thing that Becca has tried to say to, you know, her close circle is, like, it's okay to tell people because then you have that support system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we kind of took that with Rome's pregnancy. We told our moms as our support.
Yeah. It was definitely, like, layered of...
It wasn't 12 weeks, but it was, let's go to our first appointment. And then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that anxiety of, like, let's just wait there. And then you saw that little bean jumping around.
So wiggly.
So wiggly. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate you having this conversation.
No, I mean, I don't think, you know, we don't get to sit... As being parents now, think mm-hmm. like, as blessed as we are, I don't think we get to sit down and have these conversations mm-hmm. as much now, unless we are whispering.
And I think a lot of our unpacking from that was, like, individually.
Yeah, so I definitely
haven't done this since.
Yeah, I definitely have had my navigation of how I handled it and coped with it, and, you know, I think everyone copes with loss differently, and I think mm-hmm. that's okay. You know, there's definitely healthier ways to cope with loss, and everyone is doing the best that they can, and totally. I think that is a big foundation that is just important to remind yourself and other people, is that everyone's doing the best they can with what they have,
mm-hmm.
and that loss is extremely difficult. And depending on how people experience loss in the past, that really can impact whether they want to talk to you about it or they don't. And I think I also need to remind myself that too,
mm-hmm.
with my people in my circle too.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm saying this. Now it's time for our win and whoa. This is something that is exciting that has happened over the last week for you that is positive. And because we want to include both the highs and lows of your experience, something that didn't go so great that you wish was maybe a little different. And Courtney, I'm going to have you go first.
Okay. My woe is easy this week. Rome had a very difficult night sleeping. Very difficult. I won't go into the weeds of all of it. I'll give you a little taster, though, folks. David was kind of there for most of it, but not this part. At 4 a.m., she chose to wake up and insisted on sitting up. Not waking up, but she wanted to be in the seated position. So I sat her up.
You didn't do that?
I sat her ass up, and she fell asleep. So I start to lay her down. She gets upset and wakes up. So then I sit her back up. She dozes off. I try to lay her down. She wakes back up. It's a whole nightmare. So finally, for an hour, I let her just sleep in the seated position till I know she's in a deep enough sleep. And then I lay her ass down.
She pulled a tie cam.
She sure did. She pulled a tie cam. Sleeping anywhere, sleeping on toilets. It doesn't matter. She doesn't care. It was awful. So that's my woe. My win is this week I have worked a bunch. I feel like I've had a lot going on at work. While also in the evenings taking Rome while David's at football practice, and taking Rome and packing our house because we are moving. And my win is that she has been letting me pack the house and we've been tag teaming it, and she's been crushing it. Some independent time on the floor by herself for like an hour.
It's been pretty beautiful.
Yeah, very proud of her. So it's my win and my will. What about you, Mr. Marcus?
Well, my... Whoa. is that I feel like the last 3 months, what is it? Last 3 months, I've gotten into a really good routine around movement, mm-hmm. and boxing and lifting, and it's been amazing. And the last 2 weeks has just gone to shit because it just hasn't been prioritized because I've been exhausted because our daughter is struggling to sleep. So I am struggling to sleep. Mm-hmm. But through that, that is a woe. But as I'm saying that, I'm also realizing too, movement looks so different to everyone. And mm-hmm. and I'm like, me and Rome on the daily, I walk 3 miles.
Hell yeah.
When I walk with her. Today, I walked twice with her around. Nice. So I walked 6 miles today. And so I think also, like, it's in perspective of, like, mm-hmm. movement's still important and it's still impacting my body. And whether I'm boxing or I'm working, I'm lifting weights, mm-hmm. I walked 6 miles and my body mm-hmm. moved and burned and calories and it really.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think also, I think I need to put in perspective of, like, movement isn't just, like, hitting things or pushing things heavy.
Yeah.
And so that was a woe for me. A win is that I was offered a position.
You're gonna share.
in Clackamas County. It is a mental health therapist for their mobile crisis unit and helping individuals in the community who are experiencing crises, either using the 988 number or law enforcement reaching out to us. It sounds like it used to be part of the law enforcement unit, but it is separated, mm-hmm. And it's its own, you know, mental health support service. In lieu of law enforcement, we show up to provide support and resources, obviously not including like if there are weapons or if it's violence, all those things too. I received an offer for a position, and so that was a win, because it's been the last month of interviewing and just kind of anxiety
waiting
because I also like love, you know, what I do now. And so it's navigating change.
It's hard for you.
And loss is hard for me. So, figuring out what the next steps look like in that transition, is important, I think, for me processing loss, but that's a win for me. Just manifesting, you know, I feel like that's been a big word that I've used the last like 2 weeks is just, all right, last year, honestly, for like, is just manifesting things that I want and things that I'm hoping for myself, family, and just like continuing to put the energy into it. And yeah, that created a win.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you, baby.
Well, babe, I want to thank you for having this conversation with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, only took 2 beers, 2 IPAs.
Oh, God.
Starburst IPAs.
As you're talking in this podcast about using other things to cope in your drink.
Not because I'm doing this podcast.
It's just because you're relaxed and you're celebrating.
I'm relaxed and I'm celebrating.
Good.
And yeah, that's why.
I support it. I do want us to.
I condone healthy coping skills. If you're experiencing loss or stress, utilizing positive coping skills is very important. And you can do that by subscribing to Room to Roam and listening to our podcast. And also, we will get back to our Monday
challenges soon.
We've just been
grinding. We've been moving.
Wild whirlwind grinding, manifesting shit, haven't had time to prioritize it, but we will be back. So if you need some fun and some self-care, watch those videos or send us something.
Oh my God, I would love to see you guys do
that. Right? Send us something that we should do or how you practice self-care. Because I'm curious about how other people practice self-care when they're fucking experiencing some stress and stuff. But
I do have one more question for you, though.
Enough of my rambling.
Chatty Cathy.
Go ahead.
One thing, I know there's probably a many, but one thing that you take away from our miscarriage experience that's kind of, that's just like your takeaway from it.
Patience. I think patience in the process, patience and understanding that you need to allow the body to do what it is needs to do. Patience and the feelings and the anxieties that come with either being a birthing parent or being a support person through the process of pregnancy and after the postpartum. Patience and the fact that you don't know shit. And, you know, as we've figured out on this podcast, like, community is important to help you understand those things. And patience that you don't know everything. And that we are all doing the best that we can. And yeah, I guess that's kind of really through this whole experience of patience and is something that I'm like, I need to remind myself often. That, like, and also patience too, like not taking things for granted. Because I think I did that with our first pregnancy. I definitely was just like, oh yeah, you know, like I said before, that it is like, oh yeah, this is what it's expected, you know. And so, you know, with that experience, not taking the second pregnancy for granted, my anxiety was there, which is normal anxiety with what happened, you know, obviously matching what happened. But I think just having patience and understanding that everything will be okay. Sorry for rambling.
You're doing great.
This closing statement was brought to you by Star Wars IPA. By Ecliptic.
I think two. I'm going to do two. One for me as my takeaway from our miscarriage and one for our angel baby. One is that I have learned that pregnancy is not linear. I think being raised as a female and a birthing individual, I just was like, you get pregnant and you have a baby and it's beautiful and it's amazing and it's easy. You have sex and you have a baby and that's what it is. And I think that through this experience, I learned how non-linear it is. And there's lots of ups and downs to trying to get pregnant. And
just because there's sex every day doesn't mean you have a baby.
Exactly. And loss and like all the things. And so I think that that was one of my takeaways. And my other one is just the closeness.
Was just one.
I just told you I'm doing one for our angel baby because I had two and I couldn't get rid of it. And you made patience into like 12. So you need to chill the fuck out over there. it's just the closeness I think it brought to us. I think that there's a great example of that closeness and just the words we had for each other. Actually, the night of that wedding, of our friend's wedding, we both made posts to each other, like about each other. And maybe we'll reshare those on Sunday or whenever this posts or whatever. And I think that is just... that is my takeaway, is just the closeness that it brought us.
Yeah.
And I just want to say shout out to all you lost mamas and daddies and people and parents, that we are with you and we hear you.
We are here for you.
Thanks, babe.
I love you.
Love you.
All right, everybody. Take care.
Bye.